Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Ori's Excellent Adventure for December the something of the something. 2021.
It's December 5th.
There we go.
2021.
If you're counting on flying cars, a peaceful society, and other future type things. What are other future things? Robot dog walkers?
Yeah.
I mean, are those maybe they may have been. Uber delivers with robots.
Yeah, that's true.
But like a person walks about 100 yards behind the robot. So it's just like, what are we doing here,
society? I don't totally understand the point.
Nor do I. Other than, it's cool. Maybe it's like an advertising thing.
Or maybe they're trying to train the robots to eventually be self-sufficient.
Well, I mean, I think once the robots are self-sufficient, we are doomed. Not that we're not doomed already.
I mean.
So, whatever. Maybe the robot overlords will run the place better.
God, I hope so.
Anyway, hope you're all well. I'm contending with a little bit of a cold that was bestowed upon me by Henry, who got it from somewhere, but Dory also had a cold at the same time. So I'll blame my nephew Sam.
I blame Florida.
Well, Florida, huh? Guys.
Like, when in doubt, blame Florida.
Yeah, but we've had, well, I mean, I've had how many? 4 COVID tests since then?
I've had 1. Henry's had 1. All negative.
So, sometimes a cold is just a cold.
Yep.
You know, like the hoof prints, you don't think zebra.
Yep.
You just, maybe it's horse.
But aren't colds coronaviruses?
Yes.
So, like, we have coronavirus. We just don't have COVID-19.
You're so rude.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, yeah. So, look, let's talk about it. What's happening this week? Henry's an emotional wreck, everybody.
Henry is...
going through some feelings.
He has so many feelings. It's a lot.
Yeah.
To grapple with. Like,
he's no longer amenable to anything.
That is a good way of putting it.
Yeah, he used to be like down for whatever.
Yeah, now he's like, fuck no.
Now he's like, yes, I want to go to Target until we get to the parking garage, then I want to go home.
Yeah, and I'm gonna lose my mind. I mean, I think he was hungry. Because after he had the bar, he kind of calmed down.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
But I found you when he was yelling, like, in the store.
That's because he was looking for you, A. And B, there was a line at the pharmacy, and he saw the line, and he was, like,
he
mad
also
about it.
Didn't want... I think he was upset because he couldn't have a Lego guy. The Lego man bag?
Yeah, that
was a reason for him to be upset.
That was a reason for him to be upset. We did get him a... new Lego backpack, though.
Yeah.
But instead, from the Lego Target collab.
It's pretty dope, everybody. Check it out.
Did you order your jacket?
Not sponsored. Yeah, I did.
Cool. Did you get the... Oh, no, you can't get the pants because they're not available
pants
yet.
Drop on December 7th.
Oh, baby.
At midnight, so I'll be there.
Okay.
I won't be there.
Listen.
I'll forget.
We appreciate Target size inclusivity.
Sure. Well, I just... especially in regards to sweatpants, because I just want the most... baggity bag sweatpants ever so I can sleep in them. Because I'm a little tired of, it's cold, I'm sleeping in jeans.
Yeah, we're all tired of that.
Well, rude.
Yeah, he has become very stressed about people coming back.
Yeah, someone was recommending a Daniel Tiger episode.
There is a Daniel Tiger episode called something like Parents Always Come Back. Yeah. Maybe we should show that to him.
Which sets us up for failure if we ever don't.
I know.
Someone was talking about that at work when I was talking about this. Because
mm-hmm.
Dory took him, he finally, once his quarantine was over, Dory took him to preschool on Friday. And I don't remember if I said it on this podcast or on our Patreon episodes, patreon.com/excellentadventure. But like, I was weary of this preschool situation because of the way he did not care for the camp. And Dory was like, you know, optimistically saying, well, you know, he's used to it. He knows all the people. Well, maybe it won't be a problem. But then it was.
It was a problem. He was hysterical by the time we got to the point where I left him with the teacher. And then one of his teachers called me 45 minutes into school to say that he was still crying. But unlike the kids club at Club Med,
right?
They did not say I had to come pick him up.
Well, you know.
They were just kind of wondering if there was any like precipitating event, like maybe he hadn't eaten breakfast or didn't sleep well or something.
And you know, to our knowledge, the only precipitating event is that he spent so much time with us.
And I was like,
and we're that lovable.
He's just very emotional right now. So we kind of talked about that. So, yeah. He's just got a lot of big feelings right now.
I mean, Dory wrote a book for him for his bedtime because every night at bedtime, he was getting so emotionally sad about whether or not he would wake up. I don't think whether or not he'd wake up. Just the idea of, like, going to sleep, I guess.
Yeah. And at first, the book made him really sad.
Yes, but he just had to have it read to him about 73 times.
And I also no longer read the sentence about Henry getting sad at bedtime sometimes.
Right. It's probably a handy cut. It's a good edit, honey.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's that.
I'm
just trying to like get restful sleep before next week when I direct.
How are you feeling about it? Directing.
Well, I'm hoping that this nasally cold thing goes away.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that I get enough sleep. It's a big day. They're big, big days. So, you know, doing the 200th episode of the Goldbergs and the 201st episode. So, you know, we have a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts, a lot of actor schedules. That's the thing that makes the schedule bananas. It's like when I need certain people and they're in a scene together, but they're only available for like half a day at the same time.
Oh.
You know, and because of so many people in the show, that becomes a problem now.
Yeah.
So our schedule's a little bonkers. And then it was like, you know, I was sitting with Nicole, my friend / first AD, and we were talking about scheduling Friday, or rather on Tuesday, which is our first day of shooting. And she was like, I just put these scenes as time permits. And I was like, and if we don't get them, where do we put them? And she's like, I don't know, like next Friday. I'm like, just put them, don't time permit it. I'll just go as fast as I can. So then our prop, my friend, also my friend buddy slash our prop master on set, texted me and said, just saw the call sheet. Why does it look like we're making a music video? There's 43 different slugs and 100 different things happening. And I'm like, they're all going to be like that.
Ay, ay, ay. They really gave you a tough one, huh?
It's a, you know,
doozy.
It's I'm grateful for the challenge.
Yeah. Do you think they deliberately gave you this episode? Or was it sort of random?
Well, it was a little random, but like also like once they got like two blocks in and like had scheduled things, then it was like, oh, who's going to do 200? Well, we still have to put Matt somewhere. Why don't we put Matt on 200? Mm. So it was like half and half.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, looking forward to it.
When does it air?
Do you know? I don't know. I have to do my director's cut probably over Christmas.
Okay.
And then, if I had to guess, February?
We should let the eggheads know.
We will.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep.
But yeah, that's sort of been that. Although this morning, so like this week, here my wake-up times this week have been the following times. It's been like 4:40, 5:05, 3:20, 4:40, 4:15. Record last night. I woke up at 2:06 a.m., so, I'm having a great time.
Ugh.
Dory went out to play poker on Friday, and I was dead to the world when she got home. I had gone to bed at 10.
I didn't wake you up, did I?
No. Which is rare, because you usually do. Mm. That's how asleep I was.
You seemed dead to the world.
I was.
And yes, I went to play poker.
But I've been doing a lot of, like, I'm up, going to the couch, then I lay out on the couch.
Mm.
For some reason, like, when I have any nasal drip or whatever, the couch is, like, better.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wonder why.
I don't know.
Hmm.
I'm not a couch doctor. Are you a couch doctor? Write in to mattanddory@gmail.com. Or DorianMatt@gmail.com.
Or call us at 413-461-BABY.
That's right, everybody. All you have to do is pick up your cellular telephone and send us a call text.
Interesting. I'm trying to think if anything of note happened to me this week. I played poker.
Right.
IRL.
Yeah.
That was fun. Now you're not the only poker player in the family.
Well, now you're the only poker player in the family because you have tennis Wednesday nights. And for some reason, our Tuesday game has turned into a Wednesday game post-pandemic. I don't understand it, personally.
Well, I only have Wednesday night tennis for 2 more weeks, and I probably won't be able to go anyway.
No, you probably won't.
So
I'll be busy.
If you want to go back to Wednesday night poker.
Classic Dory, Shafrir, you know, Matt Myra. Situation. I don't think I'm going to be home Friday. Dory works out convoluted babysitting schedule with our nanny. I text her at 4 o'clock. I'm heading home.
You were home at 4.
Oh, yeah, I was home.
Like, not even, like,
I thought I would be shooting longer, but then, like, I got pulled in all these. I had, like, so much production meeting stuff all day Friday, and then, like, they wrapped, like, at lunch on the stage. And I was so out of it from being in prep for my episodes, and I was like, wait, how did that happen? So I was bad at estimating this week.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I'm wondering if the same thing is going to happen on Tuesday. I feel like it is the sort of like Murphy's Law thing where, like, if I arrange a babysitter, you get home early, and if I don't, you get home late.
Yeah,
like, it almost always works out that way.
Are you planning something someday?
Well, Tuesday night I'm supposed to play Mahjong.
Get a babysitter.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. It's like, it's a lot to shoot, but like, there's a world where I could get it done by 7.
Right.
But even getting it done at 7, I don't think helps you that much.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'll take that under advisement.
Thank you.
Yep. I just like games, you know?
I guess I know that. I know you like that spelling game on the New York Times app.
Mm-hmm. Spelling Bee?
Which I started the other day, and I was like, 3 words in, I was like, that's it. I got a great, and I was like, okay.
Oh, great's good.
Yeah.
So.
My great was a gimme, G-I-M-M-E.
Oh, you must have gotten more than 3 words then.
No. Well, I probably could have had I just not looked at it and gone, meh.
Hmm.
You have to do more than how many letters?
What do you mean? Oh, more than 3 letters.
Mm.
Yeah. It has to be at least 4 letters.
I would have plowed it if it was like 3 letters and 2 letters. No problem.
Sure. I mean, wouldn't we all?
I guess.
Whoa.
What?
You okay there?
Well, I was just getting closer and sitting back a little bit.
Okay. Well,
as we ease into this.
I
podcast spirit.
Think we should take a break and hear from some eggheads.
All right. Be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It. Hi, everybody. We're back here on the show, and we're going to hear from you folks, the eggheads, with the, you know, the world's slowest message board.
Okay. This first email is from Amy. Matt and Dory, my partner and I are in the throes of IVF, attempting our first FET in January, and I'm stuck in the past listening to your podcast, currently on episode 106. But I've been meaning to write to you to thank you for motivating me to fight for infertility coverage at work. It took a while, but I succeeded in getting infertility coverage starting in 2022. I work for a small city in Washington State, and my healthcare is through the Association of Washington Cities, covering 30,000 people throughout the state. Next year, 30,000 people will have access to a lifetime max of $25,000 for infertility coverage.
That's no small potatoes.
That is really cool. Getting the news that this coverage is being added is most definitely the best news I've gotten all year. When I feel demoralized about treatment, work, life, whatever, I remember that without my persistence, this coverage wouldn't exist. It makes me feel powerful and in control at a time when I feel out of control most of the time, re-treatment and COVID. It makes me happy to think that this process will be a little easier for some people in the years to come. Dory, I did this because you did, and it's such a win. Thank you. And thank you for keeping me company during this lonely process. Amy in Seattle.
Honey, you're just changing lives out there, you know?
This made me feel really good.
I can't imagine why it wouldn't. It's a really big deal for those 30,000 folks out there in Washington.
Yeah. 25,000 is good.
That's no chump change.
No.
Or as I previously said, small potatoes.
Yeah, I think when I finally got BuzzFeed to give us some, it was 10,000. It's 25,000? Nothing to sneeze at.
Like, completely. The Writers Guild is now covering infertility.
I know. Little late. Little late.
Little late, dickheads.
All right. This email is from Ashley. Do you want to read it?
Sure. I'm writing a response to the listener who was nervous about her spontaneous pregnancy after a science baby. I was in the same boat, and though excited, I was scared out of my mind. Here's what I did to cope. Sought out an MFM. Multi-level marketing?
No, the maternal fetal medicine.
Consult. All right, very early, at 6 weeks. Beyond infertility, I have other issues that I needed special care, but my age qualified me right off the bat. This allowed for extra imaging and genetic testing, which helped settle my nerves. I did have to push my OBGYN for the early referral, so be prepared to advocate for yourself. I sought support from a therapist specializing in infertility and maternal care. Postpartum Support International can help you find a list of qualified professionals in your area. They are great at any stage. The help of the therapist and the MFM extra imaging and tests, I worked on giving myself grace. Didn't really exhale until 24 weeks of gestation. I was so grateful and so anxious at the same time. Pregnancy is hard, no matter how you get there. Sending love to your listener. That's Ashley Sissel Lee, 1200 Square Feet in Marietta, Georgia. Lost track of the hot dog count. But I've been looking forward to pork hot dogs to try. Looking for pork hot dogs to try. They are very difficult to find in my area. Welcome to also my area. Same thing over here, Ashley. But for some reason, in the Northeast, plenty.
That is so
interesting. Are they technically wieners versus hot dogs?
Oh.
This is huge, guys. What does that mean?
Wow.
What if that's the case? In all this time, wieners don't even count.
This could blow the whole hot dog thing wide open.
Speaking of hot dogs, we've got Beauregard Shafrir Myra making an appearance on the podcast once again. Those of you who don't remember our 80-pound dog, who I would describe as emotionally active. Well, he's here. Visiting. Sniffing all the wax that Dory spilled on the floor.
All right. Hello.
Hi.
Ashley, thank you for your input here.
And good luck on your pork dog search.
Yeah. All right. This is from Becky. Hi, Matt and Dory. Thank you very much for this podcast. I first found you a few years ago when I was pregnant with my first IVF baby, now 3, and it was so great not to feel so alone in this process. I just gave birth to my second IVF baby, who is 3 months old. Both are donor egg babies from the same donor. Someone wrote in asking about preeclampsia in second IVF pregnancy. While I did not do reciprocal IVF, I did use a donor egg. I developed preeclampsia at the end of my first pregnancy at 39 weeks. I was induced while undergoing a magnesium drip for my blood pressure and eventually moved to an emergency C-section. Recovery for us all was pretty fast. I was very worried about developing preeclampsia again in my second pregnancy. My MFM also relayed to me that my chances of developing preeclampsia again were actually lower due to my body being exposed to the same genes as the first time around. I understand that wouldn't be true if the second embryo was from a different donor. I'm happy to report that my pregnancy went off without a hitch, no preeclampsia or other complications, despite being 45 and overweight as well, so having other complicating factors. While obviously this is anecdotal, I wanted to share my experience. Since we are older parents, it was important for me to have a sibling for my first child, so that is one of the reasons I took the risk. I have to say I was pretty worried the whole pregnancy, but it all turned out for the best. Writing from a 2,500 square foot house in Northern Virginia with a 65 pound rescue dog. I've had several hot dogs, especially if you count bratwurst in with hot dogs.
I don't.
But in my defense, while pregnant, I wanted nothing but mac and cheese, and the perfect accompaniment for that is hot dogs. Oh, like cut up hot dogs in the mac and cheese.
Seems to be a popular dish out there. Never really went for it myself.
Yeah, me neither.
My mother used to make like a Spanish rice with hot dogs in it. It was actually not. It wasn't bad. But thank you. And mac and cheese. I'm of two minds about mac and cheese. Sometimes it's great, but bad mac and cheese is real bad.
That's true, but good mac and cheese
is real good.
Mm.
Whereas, like, bad cake is still pretty good.
Interesting theory.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Becky, thank you for writing in about this. Preeclampsia scares the shit out of me. Like, it's very scary. So, anyway.
Is this part of your sort of trepidations in attempting again at a later age? No.
No, it's not. I had no warning signs of preeclampsia. My blood pressure was never high. Mm-hmm. That said, it is something that can come on extremely suddenly.
Yeah.
But that was not one of the things that I was like worried about.
Right.
But it is very scary. There's a woman who just died at Cedars. I don't think she had preeclampsia. She died a couple days after she gave birth. She was 33.
We don't really know much about it.
And yeah, it's that she died of unknown like birth complications, which is like terrifying. Ugh. Anyway, I feel so horrible for her family. I don't know. I guess this is all in way of saying that like birth is still like a big fucking deal.
Of course.
Matt saw when he saw me cut open on an operating table.
Yeah, I saw your insides. A lot of them.
And I feel like sometimes people like don't remember that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They were like, oh, you shouldn't look over the thing of a jiggy. And I was like, I've seen autopsies. And they're like, oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
So you looked?
I saw your insides, honey.
Whoa. What'd they look like?
Insides?
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
Good intestines.
All right. This is from Caitlin. I've been an avid listener since the beginning, but this is my first time writing. Got a bit behind in episodes over the past year, but hope to catch up soon. I listened originally as I went through IUIs and IVF in parallel to you, Dori. I felt so seen by your experience. I was 35 when we finally conceived my now 2-year-old daughter, many years after my friends had children. But when I had her, I experienced immediate PPD and continue to be challenged by it today. It isn't the harm type of PPD, but instead an extreme depression. It was so confusing to experience it after having no mental health history and wanting and trying for a baby for so long. My daughter was high need from the beginning and did not stop shrieking until she was a year old and we realized she had reflux and a milk allergy.
Wow.
We later learned when introducing solids, she had tree nut and egg allergy as well. Lucky us. I honestly think my PPD was more PTSD from this traumatic experience. At 5 months old, the pandemic hit and piled on where I had no outside support. I haven't heard PPD discussed yet on your podcast and was curious if there are others that went through infertility so badly wanting a child but were baffled when they were so depressed post-birth. I ended up taking a medical leave from my big wig job in marketing and then downshifting my career as a result, which came with its own level of disappointment. This has been a confusing experience, and I'm hoping or not hoping there are other listeners who are going through this as well. Caitlin, P.S. I just started. Thanks for waiting and love it so far. Great read. Thank you. Oh, Caitlin, I'm sorry. You know, we have had people write in about PPD, PPA, postpartum rage, like all various postpartum issues that you might not have gotten to because you're behind. But this is also something that I feel like has come up a lot in the Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure Pregnancy and Children group. This feeling of like, why the hell do I have PPD when like I struggled so much to have a baby and I wanted this baby so badly.
Well, that's I think that's, you know, psychologically, it's like a lot of it is the chase, right? You're just chasing. You get it. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, now what?
Right. And it's like, and then on top of the PPD, what is he eating?
Bo, what are you doing? Are you eating Legos?
On top of the PPD, you have guilt about the PPD because...
Of course.
You feel like you shouldn't have it.
Yes. Well, this is all I ever wanted. Why right. am I feeling like this?
Right.
I'm such an ungrateful son of a bitch.
Right.
It's probably, you know, and it's...
But guess what? You're allowed to feel that way. And just because you went through infertility does not make you immune from PPD or PPA. If you're not in the Facebook group, I would go there and search for PPD, post your own...
Did you have it?
I did not have PPD. I think I might have had PPA, though.
What is that? Apatheticness? What is the A? I don't know what the A is.
Anxiety.
I'm sorry. I wasn't making a joke. Oh. I literally...
It's also apathy.
Well, you know, these acronyms could be whatever I want them to be.
I mean, I definitely had like anxiety and intrusive thoughts.
And what's like, what would be a form of an intrusive thought?
Like,
I will say you didn't have I don't remember you having a ton of night terrors at that time.
Probably because I was so tired.
Mm.
Like I was too tired to have night terrors.
Interesting.
Intrusive thoughts are like when you can't help yourself from thinking about like catastrophic things that could happen to the baby.
Right. I think that's normal though.
It might be normal, but it's still like upsetting.
Right. Like we're all, I mean, I do that all the time. Constantly.
I once read something about intrusive thoughts that they're like a survival mechanism.
Well, it's like, you know, it's, for me, when I think of things, crazy bananas scenarios that could happen, it's, my brain is like, okay, then how do I deal with that when that happens? What is that? How do I prevent that?
Yeah, so exactly. It's a survival mechanism. How do I make sure that this doesn't happen?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, like, scary.
Yeah, like, I will all, whenever you're not here, it doesn't happen very often, but whenever you're not here and I have, I'm Henry's sole provider, I crank that fucking monitor up and I sleep with it next to my head.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't know what that is. Is that just me going like, well, I don't want the blame.
He died on my watch?
Like the other night, you went somewhere Friday.
Poker.
And I was doing a podcast, but I was like, I had to find the monitor, drag it out to my office, which I should always do anyway. But I was feeling extra guilty about not being able to find it for a little while. But I did find it.
Interesting. Well, listen, Caitlin, I'm thinking of you. And if you haven't talked to a therapist yet, I would do that, because even if you don't feel like you don't still have PPD, it sounds like you now have you now have PTSD from the PPD. Mm. So I would, if you can, I would find a therapist who can kind of help you talk through this. Okay, we have a voicemail.
Okay. Do you want to do it now or when we come back?
We can do it when we come back.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned for a voicemail. Just kidding. We're going to do the voicemail right now. Here we go.
Hi, Matt and Dory. I had to pause the podcast. I was listening to the caller emailer, I should say, that wanted to go to the clinic in New York because their home state clinic was posing weight limits, which first and foremost, I will say that posing the weight limit is completely bullshit. I do agree with you, Dory, 100% there. That should not be a hindrance to the process. It's the topic of fat phobia that inspired me to make this call. And this is a lot from my personal experience with my fatness. I don't think people are fat. I don't think most people are fat phobic, or, well, let's say medical professionals. I don't think they're fat phobic in like, ooh, that person is fat, I hate the way they look. I think it's due to their health. Like, I'm scared of the fat that I still have. I worry about overweight people that I see, and it's nothing based off of what their looks. Beauty at any size, yes. Health at any size, no. It's a very complicated relationship, and it's also way more complicated and tumultuous whenever your body, such as PCOS, is working against you and preventing you from losing the weight in a relatively easy manner. There's no easy way, safe way to lose weight. Sorry if I'm rambling, but I just don't want to seem like I am saying that a lot of fat phobia is taken the wrong way, but like, I don't want to seem like that terrible person, but I just think like, oh, this is a way that you could be healthy, but I think this is the wrong place to address it. The weight should come in your primary care doctor's visit, not in the fertility clinic visit. So I hope I stated my point clearly. I don't think I ever do. I just got on Vyvanse for my ADHD, which I'm on my third week, and my psychiatrist, like, it'll take about a month to kick in, so here's hoping. Just know that I'm on the caller side, and I think we should all be healthy. Much love to everybody and their journeys. I don't think the hot dog count has changed. Still don't know what the square footage of my house is. I love you all. Bye.
Sorry, everybody. Bo is eating something again.
Mm-hmm.
Like dirt? I don't know what Bo is doing. Bo, are you still sick? Why don't we open the door a little bit and let Bubble go out?
Okay.
And then he can make up his mind about what he's doing. He's probably like, I'm tired of eating dirt. I'm going to go eat grass now. Bo is quite a weirdo.
He threw up on our bed the other day.
He threw up on our bed yesterday. I saw it happening.
But we
and couldn't. I just was like, I thought about picking him up, but I didn't. And then the other night, too, we're going to get back to this phone call. Thank you, by the way, for calling in a second. But the other night, we'd put Henry down, and I heard him with a short bah, and I was like, I think he puked. Dory's like, no, he'd be crying if he puked. And I was like, I don't know. I think he puked.
And I was like, ugh, go check if you think he puked. Like, I was just like, I know he didn't puke. And then, of course, he'd puke.
I opened up the door and his whole pillow was covered. And he was just like a little like punch drunk. Like, what happened?
He was so sad about his pillow.
Yeah. But he liked having the elephant pillow.
Oh, he did, yes.
Replaced the pillow.
Yes, that's true.
All right. Now back to that call. Thank you for calling. Fat phobia is a thing. I'm not entirely sure what causes it. Am I afraid of myself? Fairly often. But that sentiment at the end there, everyone just be healthy. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for that call. Okay. What?
I was thinking of the other day, Wednesday. I was at work, and it was early. It was one of those mornings where, like, I had gotten up very early.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was like 8:30 in the morning. I was very hungry. And I was like, oh, there's nothing at this truck. So I got half of a Bear Claw and a Monster Energy. And I walked over to Buddy, our prop master, slash my friend. And I said, and I was like, hey, look, it's the picture of health. He's like, he goes home and he eats. What does he describe to me? He's like, a hard-boiled egg, one slice of avocado toast, and an apple. Like, Buddy, like, works out all the time, too. So it's very funny that we're always around each other. All right, well, let's now go to break, and we'll be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Dory, we're back. Let's do whatever it is we're doing. More email.
All right. This next email is from Anonymous. Question for the pod. I currently work from home with an hourly rate job, 8 hours a day. I also have an 11-month-old baby whom I simultaneously take care of. Thus far, my employer, who is in the education / NICU sector, has been okay with the situation. However, now that my baby is almost walking, my manager has made the claim that I couldn't possibly do both, working from home and taking care of the baby at the same time. I'm not in a position to have any form of childcare. And as far as I know, in California, there are no laws that protect mothers in this way. I'm due to have a conversation with my manager about my work situation. I have been able to meet all the job requirements, and I believe I can continue moving forward. The only issue has been the baby occasionally interrupting Zoom meetings. I'm wondering if you or any eggheads have advice on how to continue forward. All right. Well, I consulted someone I know who is an employment attorney, not in California, and this should not be construed as legal advice. But they said you should consult an attorney. Well, they said, you know, consult an attorney in California. They also said this is possibly discriminatory. And California is a very worker-friendly state, so I would not be so sure that you do not have some protections.
It does seem odd to me that California would not have anything on the books to protect mothers.
Well, it could be a sex discrimination issue if they're letting other people work from home who have like other distractions. Hmm. This is just like a dick move. I mean, the other thing I would say, and like maybe you just don't have the energy to do this, but like it's a job seekers market right now. Like people are quitting their jobs in droves. And so if you have the time and the energy to start looking for another job, I would do that also.
I mean, let's throw everything up into people. I would also look for a new place to live. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. This next email is from Kim. It says, our son is a week younger than Henry, and we have had a very similar sleeping situation with him lately. He has always been a great sleeper, sometimes even foregoing cuddles / songs and asking to get in his crib to go to sleep. However, a few weeks ago, he started being very clingy, crying, and not wanting us to leave the room when he went to bed. Similar to Henry, when we asked him what was wrong, excuse me, he would just say, I feel sad, but couldn't articulate why.
Huh.
It was so heartbreaking. I will say it was several weeks after his brother was born, so we are assuming it's been due to the emotional turmoil of that.
Interesting.
My husband started giving him a stuffed lion toy he has and told him, if you feel sad or scared, you can give Lion a big hug. And that has worked like a charm. Now he will even ask for Lion when he goes to bed, sometimes saying, Lion makes me feel better.
Oh, it's very cute.
IDK, if something like that will help Henry, but I'm so sorry you guys are going through that. It's so, so sad to see them upset and not be able to fix it for them. I guess this is parenting, am I right? This is Kim in 3,700 square feet in Columbus, Ohio, with a husband, 2.5-year-old Clomid toddler, 11-week-old spontaneous pregnancy baby, 13-year-old lab mix angel from heaven, and an annoying AF 4-year-old flame point Siamese cat. I've had about 10 hot dogs this year.
Question mark. She doesn't know for a fact.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you for that clarification.
That's interesting.
Yeah, this is interesting.
You have a son that is a week younger than Henry and is going through this like weirdly exact same thing. I feel like there should be more information about this because it does seem to be some sort of developmental thing.
Yeah.
I mean, is it a cognitive thing too? Where like now he's like more aware of what's happening?
I think that is part of it.
Like he's like aware that like he's going to stay in there and the lights, you know, it's very dark and he won't see his parents until the morning.
I think it is coinciding with a lot of cognitive awareness.
Yeah. It's interesting.
For sure.
The lion, that's a, you know, it's a decent idea. Henry might go for something like that.
Yeah, with maybe Bunny or Mickey or Corduroy.
Well, I feel like he's like got a stacked crew in there right now.
He does. He has his peeps.
The other day, so like what I've been doing to try to help him out with his thing is like when he talks about waking up, I'm like, well, what do you want to do when you wake up? You know, the last couple mm-hmm. of days because I'm home, and he's like, he'll tell me, he's like, well, I want to, you know, like the other day he had a. There's a space heater in his room because the thermostat is such that like his room gets super hot if we put it on, and also our heat's not working that well anyway.
Our heat is not working right now.
Yeah, but there's a space heater in his room. And he doesn't like the light on it, and he really wanted to move the space heater and not turn it on. And I was like, we can move the space heater tomorrow because this was like bedtime, and he was like, okay, move space heater. And I was like, okay, so you want to add that to the list? What are we doing tomorrow? He's like, move space heater, go in Dita's office. Then what? Eat Raisin Toast.
Oh my God.
I'm like, so that's the order you want to do things? He's like, yeah. He goes, yeah. Like, duh. And then yesterday morning when I went in and got him, I was like, all right, bud, what do you want to do? He's like, move heater. So like, he obviously thought about it for a while, like had been thinking of it, and also I was surprised that he remembered. Like I feel like I always thought like kids they don't remember.
No, he definitely remembers. He definitely remembers.
It's interesting to me.
Yeah,
I don't mind if he remembers. I try to keep my word to the child.
Me too. All right, you know, a couple weeks ago we heard from someone who was asking how to get their kid to wear masks because they were in the UK and kids, what'd you say, under five maybe, don't generally wear masks there, but they're getting on an international flight. So Melinda had some tips. And Melinda works in early intervention, and this has been a common concern of many parents we work with since the pandemic began. So here are a few ideas she has. Definitely experiment with many types of masks. There are so many out there, and it can be a lot of trial and error finding what's comfortable for each individual. Many have found a basic child-sized surgical mask to be lightweight and tolerable on a relative scale, but your mileage may vary. Pretend play. Put masks on favorite stuffed animals and dolls and talk about how we wear our masks just like Corduroy does or whatever lovable character your child is into. Use the power of peers. Visit places where other children are more likely to be masked to help normalize it. Well, that sounds like it would be hard in the UK because no one is wearing them.
That's true.
I mean, the kids aren't wearing them.
Well, I wonder if it's like an indoor thing, so maybe like a museum or something.
Oh, maybe. Even very young children are often interested in doing what other kids are doing. Toddler peer pressure for the win.
That reminds me that Henry's also like talking about getting bigger.
Yeah.
So, I'm worried that we're going to wake up one morning and he'll be 7 feet tall.
Like he can feel himself growing. Get some plain masks and fabric markers and have fun decorating your own masks together. Use songs. Most kids love music and silly songs. There are lots out there on YouTube about wearing masks. Identify some fun activities or items your child would be highly motivated by and save them for mask time. Talk about how during mask time we wear our masks to be safe or follow the rules or whatever your family's explanation is, and we get to play with special items. This could be anything. Stickers, Play-Doh, whatever, as long as it's something they only use while masking. The novelty helps distract from the mask and also gives them something to look forward to. You could then bring some of those special masking toys / activities on the plane with you as well, so they understand airplanes have mask time, but the special toys will be there too. Sensory issues can be a huge barrier to masking. You can get special brackets to put inside masks to hold them away from the child's face, which makes it more comfortable for some. Wait, if the masks are held away from the child's face, how do they work?
magic.
All right. Ear savers or masks with straps that go around the head rather than ear loops that are also sometimes more tolerable. Use that visual timer option, a small one or on a phone for the plane, to help the child visualize how long they'll be wearing the mask. Even on a long flight, it could be used to show we're wearing the mask for 30 minutes, then we'll have a break for a drink and snack before we set our timer again. Timer was a lifesaver when our son was young for so many situations. Sesame Street also has some online resources about masking for young children that could be useful. I hope one or more of these tips is helpful to the listener who reached out and anyone who's in this challenging parenting situation. Also, I love that there's now an ADHD portion of the pod. Two people very close to me are diagnosed, and the resources that have been recommended are spot on. There are tons of great books and websites out there, but some are better than others. So it can feel a bit like mining for gold to find the good and helpful stuff. How to ADHD on YouTube is a channel that tends to be highly recommended in ADHD circles. If you're looking for more content in ADHD, TikTok is huge. Last but not least, I'm an ologite. It was fun to hear Allie mention on last week's pod. It makes my nerd heart happy to think about some of my favorite podcasters knowing each other in real life.
I'll do you one better. This podcast exists essentially because of Allie. It was Allie who I was with the Friday night that I decided to go on Tinder for only the weekend. She was like, just try it. She's like, you know, because I would always swipe for her. And woof, I mean, not a lot of great options out there, everybody, especially cis ladies. I'm sorry. But I was like, yeah, no, I'll try it till Monday. So I went on and then matched with Dory that weekend and then got off on Sunday.
Yeah.
So not only do we know Allie, she's a dear friend, and you're welcome for this podcast.
All right. Sending wishes for a healthy holiday season to all, and hoping the back to work shift is feeling manageable for Matt and everyone else too. Mm. Well, it's not feeling manageable for Henry.
That's right. Everyone but Henry right now.
Melinda in Maine in 1,700 square feet with two woodworking shops and a blacksmith forge.
Nice.
What? With me, the hubs, 13-year-old son, two cats, two bunnies, a bunch of fish, and at this point in the year, refusing to speculate on number of hot dogs. But the hot dog report always makes me wish we had a Costco where we live. One of the few downfalls of rural Maine living.
I mean, sounds like you're doing okay otherwise. I always walk outside in Los Angeles and go, there's not a single blacksmith shop here.
Seriously, we do not have room for a blacksmith forge on our property.
Let alone two woodworking shops. I love it. That's amazing. Ugh. Jelly.
Thank you for these tips. These are great.
I did have something I wanted to bring up in this portion of the podcast, and I was curious about what our listeners do. What do we do about the concept of Santa Claus? Because we were just talking about it. Henry remembers wanting to move the heater the next day. So cognitively, I feel like he's aware of what Santa Claus might be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I know there might be kids still listening, so I'll talk about it in kid-friendly manners. How do you introduce it to them? Question for Dory. Do you even want to introduce it to him?
I mean,
I got a lot of joy out of it as a kid, and I never really had any problems when I got older.
I don't know. Mm. I honestly don't know.
I'm not sure I'd allow the elf on the shelf to monitor us.
No, definitely not elf on the shelf.
That feels like a little too much work and a little manipulative.
Yes, I agree.
That elf should be busy elsewhere, not with me.
I do not like the concept of elf on the shelf at all.
Or the mensch on the bench.
Or the mensch on the bench or any permutation thereof.
Uh-huh.
And
I'm like, I'm also trying to like think back in my head of like, how did I become indoctrinated into the Santa Clausiness of the December holiday?
I guess my big thing about Santa is I would, if we do Santa, like I kind of leave that to you because you're the Christmas person. Like, I just want it to be someone who brings joy. I don't like the whole, like, Santa knows if you've been naughty or nice, or, you know, you could get coal in your stocking if you're not good. Like, I don't like using Santa as a threat to, like,
brother,
keep kids on their best behavior. Like, that brother, feels gross to me.
My brother once got up before me, took all the stuff out of my stocking and put coal in it as a practical joke, and it ruined me. I was so sad about it.
I mean, that's really mean.
It was really mean, but he was like, I don't know, 14. Mm. And I was like 7. Mm. So, son of a bitch. But yes, I understand what you're saying. And I agree. It was never like, I will say, my parents never used Santa as any sort of threat.
That's good.
Like, there was never a, like, you better do this or Santa's not going to come.
Right, which is what I feel like the origin of Elf on a Shelf is. Like, the elf is always watching to, like, make sure that you're behaving.
Sometimes Santa can't be everywhere, honey.
Right,
and an elf
I know.
Has to do it.
I know, but I don't like that aspect of the whole Santa mythology.
You realize that Elf on a Shelf never existed when I was
a child. I do. I fully understand that.
He was born later.
Yes. So I don't know. It's definitely something that we should like.
But like, I'm like, out. Do we put on like one of those 60s claymation things, like stop motion things, and like that's how he figures it out, or how do you do that? How do you introduce the concept of Santa to children? All right, that's my question. Thank you. People answer it if you'd like to or not.
Thank you. Okay. We are going to move on to this email from Monroe. It says, Happy Hanukkah. My wife and I are celebrating our first as a married couple. This won't be a message for advice, but I just wanted to send an update to when I was featured on the podcast, which was amazing. The Disney and Universal honeymoon was so fun. We stayed at Pop Century Resort at Disney.
Nice.
And then the new Endless Summer Dockside Inn at Universal. It was so funny because I normally get an average of 2,500 to 3,500 steps a day.
Oh, Monroe, you got to walk a little bit more than that.
But on this trip, I got over 18,000 on average, many days more than 20,000. I was able to enjoy a lot of food, including vegan dinner at Ohana. I definitely overdid it at times, but that was on me. Disney and Universal offered great options for my health restrictions. There was one day we did have to leave the park early as I had an episode of pancreatitis.
Oh, it's painful. I'm sorry, Monroe.
Luckily, I was able to manage it without seeking medical care, but we were worried. The day after the worst of the pain, we hit Universal's Volcano Bay, which was amazing, and the rides helped lessen the pain even more. My wife and I also got to treat our nearly one-year-old niece, who we only met for the first time for the wedding, to her first Disney experience. So yes, the trip was overwhelming, but my wife made sure I got the rest I needed, and we had a blast. I look forward to continuing listening each week. My partner and I will be starting the process of trying for a baby very soon, and I know it will be quite the process, and hearing everyone's unique experiences on your show is very helpful. Have a nice holiday season. Best, Monroe.
Nice. Aww. Yeah, I know, like, we hit, like, I think I hit, like, 20-some-odd thousand steps.
Oh, yeah.
Then Dory and I had the discussion of my legs are shorter than hers, so turns out I take 44 steps, Dory takes 38.
Yeah, we did a...
Even though I'm much taller than her.
He didn't believe me, and
no, I believed you. I just didn't care for the actual facts.
So we did a test of like, okay, how many steps does it take you to get to the gold Winnie the Pooh statue? And
that actually was the test.
Yeah, and it took me
50th Winnie the Pooh, 38.
Fewer
I took 44
steps.
So,
yeah,
she's like, "Well, how do you have more steps than I do?" I'm like,
because he always had like, and we were together the whole day.
I always had like 2,000 more steps.
Yeah, he would always have like 2,000 to 3,000
more steps.
But I was
wandering a bit more off than you.
A bit, but not like 3,000 steps more.
I think so.
No.
Anyway, thank you.
All right. This is from Colleen. Mm-hmm. Matt, Mickey used to talk in that meet and greet.
Oh, wow.
This is in reference to the meet and greet we did with Mickey that Henry wanted to do 4 times at like in Town Square at Disney World. And the mirror image setup is likely because there was a centralized center for the tech that allowed him to talk.
Yeah.
Talking character initiative like Crush and Monsters,
yeah,
Inc.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They did take Mickey's voice away because it had a lot of unscheduled downtime. At least that's what they think, but pretty sure why they have the room set up that way.
Huh.
BTW, could you do parent switch up in the lines with Genie Plus? And if so, is it one companion, two companions, or just the one rider? I'm bummed to hear about the food. Yikes. I'll be there in January with a 5 and 2-year-old.
Thanks, Colleen. We didn't do any. We just essentially just rode stuff that Henry fit on.
Yeah.
So we all went together the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, you know, I've been on those rides so many times that I just was like, it's okay if we don't, I don't ride Space Mountain or whatever.
Right. Yeah, so we, unfortunately,
I don't even remember what we rode when we went to the after hours thing. I know the first thing I dragged you to was the People Mover.
Yes, we did ride the People Mover.
There was no line.
And it got stuck.
We did Splash Mountain.
Yeah, we did Splash Mountain. Did we do anything else? We wanted to go on Jungle Cruise, but even at the after hours thing, it was still 45 minutes. And we were just like,
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Moving on. Good evening, Dory and Matt. I have a question that may divide you two. Which do each of you prefer as hosts of Great British Bake Off, Mel and Sue, or Matt and Noel, or Noel and Sandy? My favorite is Mel and Sue, personally.
Correct.
Living in 840 square feet in Austin, Texas, with one cat, one husband, and a total hot dog consumption of 15 so far this year.
Thanks, Julia.
Yeah, I agree. Mel and Sue. I miss
Mel and Sue. Mel and Sue were great. Now, let me tell you, I love Noel, and I love Matt, and I loved Sandy. And the combination of Noel and Sandy was, I think, a little more of a cool combo than Noel and Matt.
People on the internet hate Matt.
Why?
They really don't like him. They think he's like rude, and I don't know. It's interesting. I keep seeing things where people are like, Matt is the worst.
They're constant competition with each other to see who can say the stupidest, least funny thing. Which I get is very enjoyable for them, is just like, I'm just like, guys, come on.
Okay, Stephanie writes, can we have a GBBO section this week? There's been little discussed on the pod for the latest season. I'd love to hear your overall thoughts. I thought I'd share just a few. The penultimate episode was maybe one of the best I've seen.
Interesting.
I thought they were going to say that for the first time ever there would be four in the final.
Dory said that too.
I did say that. Okay, this is a spoiler, so if you haven't watched the season, fast forward. I thought it was really bad optics when they
skip ahead.
I thought it was really bad optics when they sent Lizzie home. She had finally achieved her finesse on a cake celebrating her neurodiversity, and she got sent home that week, and she and Christelle were pretty much neck and neck that episode.
Yeah. I was shocked. She did finally deliver the thing they were asking for and then send her out.
Yeah.
It was like, what? No.
I agree. WTF was up with the achy Bradley.
But I also don't think she would have lasted the next week.
I agree with that.
So they might have been going like, well, we'll just extend the inevitable here.
Yeah, true. The achy
bakey heart opener was something. I don't understand.
The openers have been
bizarre.
So bizarre. And that is from Stephanie. Hot dog update. It's now 5 this year after having my baby in July and pregnancy no longer ruling my appetite.
Nice.
Okay, this is really big spoiler.
Yeah.
So really, if you haven't watched, don't listen to the rest of the episode. This is from Kimberly. Were you all as upset as me about Jürgen's dismissal? # justice for Jürgen. And were you delighted to see Giuseppe win?
I think Jürgen just got outbaked that week, honestly.
Yeah. Jürgen, I thought Jürgen did deserve to be sent home that week if you were just evaluating him on that week.
And ultimately, I think, you know, Jürgen's one of the better bakers there for sure. But that week, he did not, it just didn't break his way. Giuseppe winning was the biggest surprise of any bake-off, I think, as far as who won.
Because
just based, again, on the week.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you're saying, like, well, Jürgen deserved to be sent home that week because he was the worst baker that week, then, like, Giuseppe did not deserve to win because he did not have the best performance.
Right.
That he lost the technical.
I mean, first of all,
his signature was fine. And his showstopper, they love the panna cotta, but they didn't love the rest of it. I think Chiggs should have won.
Chiggs had time, by the way, to finish that fucking cake decoration.
Yeah, that was weird. I wonder if he just, like, forgot.
It was so strange. And I think had Chiggs finished that decoration, he would have won.
Well, and I think if Christelle hadn't fucked up the focaccia.
Oh, my God. Guys, when she was adding oil to it.
We were both like, what she doing?
And then she was like baking it. She baked it for 15 minutes. I was like, that is not enough time to do anything to that oil. No.
It was very weird.
Oh, my God. Like, what happened? It was really like a brain fart.
It was very strange.
Okay. Thank you. And yes, I was happy for Giuseppe because of how happy the other two contestants were for him.
Yes. Yes.
Like, they, you know, he seemed like a great guy, and they were really happy for him, and I get happy when people get happy. So I was like, all right, Giuseppe, you did it.
Yeah. I mean, I love Giuseppe. I just didn't think, based on that episode, that he necessarily deserved to win. All right. Whoa. This brings us to the end of the show. And this is the part of the show where we thank our Patreon supporters. So a reminder, you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/excellentadventure. And thank you to the following people.
Angie James.
Ariana Perry.
Bethany Wipperman.
Diane M. Martin.
Emily F.
Evelyn Schmevelin.
Mary Jo George.
Nassim Kansari.
Don.
Katie Allen.
Lane and Kate Sepala.
Sophia F.
Carolyn Land.
Jennifer H.S.
Tyler Rosewood.
Abba N.
Alec Meredith Fletcher and Florence Babel.
Alex Bell.
Alex Liu.
Amanda Lady.
Amy.
Andrew McClure.
Ann Flucker.
Ann K.
12345 Anonymous.
April Holwerda.
Aurora and Zelda.
Becca Foster.
Bianca Loria.
Britt S. Baker.
Bruno Macias.
Carly Moore.
Carolyn N.
Casey Rowe.
Kathy Hill.
Chinami Worth.
Christina Smith.
Cynthia Meisner.
Diana.
Diana Robinson.
Dr. Beverly Crusher.
Edwina Goodingham.
Edwina Morgan Bodo.
Elena Paling.
Aaron.
And Aaron Gudge.
There goes the Gudge. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
We'll see you next week. Bye.